Attorneys for the major record labels and Napster will be back in a federal court in San Francisco today, arguing whether the internet service is complying with a court order barring users from trading some music. Representatives of both parties were in Washington last week testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Napster has stepped up its presence on Capitol Hill in hopes of opening a second front in its battle to stay online. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
Napster's foot soldiers were all over Capitol Hill for last Tuesday's hearing. Their headquarters was a bar called My Brother's Place, just a few hundred yards from the Capitol. Volunteers handed out goodies and political information to the few hundred supporters who were on their way to the hearing.
Here you go. There's coffee and donuts next door, as well as Congress contact information.
And wristbands for the free concert tonight.
Napster claims its supporters have sent more than 500,000 emails to Congress, something Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch acknowledged during his opening remarks at the hearing. New York Democrat and Judiciary Committee member Charles Schumer followed up by saying he'd seen firsthand that Napster has increased political awareness among young Americans.
My 16-year-old daughter banged on my door one morning and said, "Dad, you gotta pass a constitutional amendment to protect Napster." It's the first political statement out of her mouth after all these years.
Napster's website and software seem to be as much about politics these days as they are about trading music. Visit the company's website and you'll be invited to join the Napster Action Network. Fire up its song swapping software and you'll receive a barrage of messages encouraging you to get in touch with your members of Congress. Manus Cooney is Napster's vice president for corporate and public policy development.
Napster's strength doesn't lie in the size of its Washington presence or in, you know, the size of its office. It lies in the fact that so many Americans are using the service and that those people are making their views known in Washington. In most districts, there are more Napster users than there are record executives.
The bottom line, as a Napster ad in the Capitol Hill newspaper roll call put it, Napster users are voters. To make sure that's heard in Congress, Napster has cranked up its lobbying presence, primarily with Republicans and conservatives. Manus Cooney himself was a longtime member of Judiciary Committee Chair Orrin Hatch's staff. Ethics rules prohibit Cooney from lobbying his former boss until next year. So Napster hired a top GOP lobbyist last week, and at a Washington teach-in for supporters, the internet firm featured a speaker from a libertarian organization. It makes sense for Napster to aim its Washington message to the right, according to Larry Noble, executive director of the nonpartisan group the Center for Responsive Politics. He says the internet firm may get through to a few more Republican ears because its opponents in the record industry have traditionally given most of their political support to Democrats, though in the current environment that's changing too. Noble says Napster's strategy may not be enough to give the company clout because, like a lot of technology firms, it made the mistake of ignoring Washington early on.
The classic mistake was made by Microsoft, which came late into the game and found that what goes on in Washington is very important to it, now has a major lobbying presence. I think the same thing happened to Napster, where there was a certain feeling out there that Washington is irrelevant to what they do, but they found out that Washington is not irrelevant to what they do.
Napster executives say they may spend their political capital convincing Congress to enact what's called a compulsory license. That would force the major record labels to let users of Napster or similar services trade all music as long as those services paid royalties. Right now, by comparison, internet firms have to ask each record label for permission to use its songs. So far, only a few independent labels have agreed. The recording industry is arguing against legislation. Mitch Glazier is senior vice president for government relations at the trade group the Recording Industry Association of America.
Our message is that the marketplace is working, and now that the court has ruled in Napster, determining that illegal services can't operate to take away from the legitimate marketplace developing, there's literally been an explosion. Just this past week, there were five major deals announced.
Those deals involved each of the five major labels announcing plans to make at least some of their music available for delivery over the internet. Senators at last week's hearing cracked wise about the timing of those announcements. Chairman Hatch and ranking Democrat Patrick Leahy of Vermont joked that they could solve the impasse in the music industry by holding weekly hearings. Capitol Hill observers say there's not likely to be a serious legislative push this year. What's more, the political landscape is getting more complex. At last week's hearing, the senators got to rub elbows with superstars. Don Henley and Alanis Morissette told the committee that their fellow recording artists need to play a role in crafting a settlement to the online music dispute. Rick Carr, NPR News, Washington.